The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, International Week here with William Hill, Dave Kellner in the studio alongside Lee Phelps to take a look through the international matches, selected international matches of course, with England in action against Norway on Wednesday night. We've got the Republic of Ireland taking on Oman on Wednesday evening as well, and we'll have a look at Germany, Argentina, Italy versus the Netherlands, and France versus Spain. But first let's reflect on a weekend's Premier League football.
Can I just, there's been a lot of change in this podcast. Sorry to interrupt, DK.
But, yes.
And I think I'm just like to say to everyone who's listening still, thanks for embracing that change. What about, this whole thing about saving the naps to the to the weekend version of the podcast?
Yeah.
Do you think we should change that? Because, I'm all for change. And I you've suggested it in a couple of weeks. I've been very, no, we're not doing that. Maybe we should embrace that more.
Are you thinking about that more now?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the table, I was saying last week, you can't really, it's a fledgling table, there's no point looking at it after two games. Three games, I think that's probably the optimum time to start looking at it.
I agreed with that sort of sentiment in the first week, but subsequently, I've been thinking, should we scrap the naps completely?
No, I think we should definitely keep it.
Are you sure?
Yeah. But we'll wait and see maybe till... Let's leave it this weekend to Lewis.
We'll leave it to the weekend. Yeah, we'll leave it to the weekend, definitely.
Half-time draw, though. I was trying to keep it in.
That was a good bet. And I even tried to goad you into going for half-time draw, full-time Manchester City. But fortunately, or unfortunately for my own personal perspective, you swerved that and just went for the half-time draw.
I like my next best of Jan Mack to score anytime at 19-2
as well.
Was
that your next best?
Yeah, next best.
You weren't even going to bring it up on the podcast until I saw it settled on the bet slip.
Yeah.
Yeah, good bet there, 19-2. Yeah, landed some good bets.
Missed a few as well.
If you watch the TV preview, though, we're doing a TV preview each and every week now. You need to check that out as well with Robbie Savage dipping in with his previews. That's available on Friday afternoon. Things didn't go as swimmingly on that particular preview, did they, Lee?
No, and I put the same bets up on the punt as well, so they were losers, but let's concentrate on the positives.
Oh, obviously. First of all, we just mentioned it briefly there, big shock at the weekend with Manchester City being beaten by Stoke, and that's changed with Chelsea's win at Everton, that's changed the title odds significantly. Yeah. Three games into the season, Chelsea odds on already for the title. 4-5 Chelsea, Man City 11-4, Arsenal 10-1, Liverpool 10-1, Man United 14s, Tottenham 50s, 200s bar. Chelsea 4-5 now, having been, we tipped them at 7-4 on the pre-season preview, were available at bigger prices during the summer. 4-5 now. Is that an overreaction, do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think they will win it, but I think it's still a bit of an overreaction to one result. Chelsea, at home, they did struggle to get past Leicester, didn't they? So they didn't look amazing. But I just think I think Man City will concentrate so much on the Champions League. Obviously, Chelsea will as well, but I think when we get to that, I think Chelsea will win. But the value now has to be City at 11-4, doesn't it? I mean, you look, the last three seasons, they've, recorded 89 points, 78 points and 86 points, so they're going to be somewhere there or thereabouts. They're going to be second, I think, if they don't win it. So it's not like, and they're going to be dark days for Chelsea. They're not going to win the whole, they're not going to win every single game comfortably, are they? So
no.
I think
that's a fair prediction.
But Costa, I mean, Costa's settled in so well, and they've got so much quality throughout. They've just signed Luke Remy as well, so they do look to have the best chance of all. Just a bit skinny, isn't it, at this stage of the season? So yeah, I guess if you were if you're looking at the Man City 11-4, it's decent. And that straight forecast we put up as well, Chelsea Man City, I think it was 4-1,
it was,
wasn't it?
4-1,
looks nice now.
I made a bit of an arse of myself on the punt at the weekend, yeah, because I was adamant that Diego Costa wasn't going to play this weekend.
I did say to you, didn't I?
I know you
it's
did.
Only a doubt.
I know you
didn't
you
take
did.
That
I didn't. I never took the hint, and you said it quite forcefully on the punt, saying, and on the TV previews, he's a doubt. Maybe they'll get him through it. And I was, no, we won't be playing at the weekend.
He looks like an old man.
I was a bit foolish. That was just a little bit foolish.
He's the oldest looking 25-year-old.
He does look like it. He looks like a 35-year-old, doesn't he, at the very least. And we're sitting here on Monday afternoon, Lee, and obviously out in the office, everyone's talking about transfer deadline day at the moment. Jim White's going nuts on the TV, or will be later going nuts on the TV about it. Big move for Manchester United this morning. They've picked up Radamel Falcao on loan from Monaco, and that deal you think will be a permanent deal, or rumour has it will be a permanent deal, but they're using this loan period as a way to get around those stringent financial fair play rules. What do you think to that signing, first of all?
Well, I think it's a great signing, isn't it? I mean, everyone's like, oh yeah, can he play centre-back and all that? But you can't pass up just because you can't get, and they might get a centre-back in as we record this before the end of today, but just because you can't get a quality central midfielder and a quality, you don't pass up the opportunity to sign Falcao, do you? 2 months ago, we were all saying what a massive miss he was going to be in the World Cup and how he was, you know, could have taken the World Cup by storm. Like, he's like, great signing, you know. So there's some the press office have sent out some special bets around him, haven't they? There's one that you picked out, which I think is, having looked at his stats, is a great price. I mean, we're told, or we think, he's only moving because of financial reasons.
Yes.
From Monaco. It's not like that he's suddenly lost his form. He scored, you know, the record that he's got is tremendous. Just going back 5 years, 25 and 28, 16 and 22, 24 and 34, 28 and 34, and 9 and 17 in domestic leagues. That's, you know, good going.
He's incredible.
Brilliant. The 9 and 17 incident last year, you know, he was out for the majority of the season. He played the last... He was out for a long time, played 3 games, picked up another knock, then he played the last 14 games straight and scored 9 goals in them. He's already got 2 in 3 this season before his move. Look, he's a goal scorer. He's 28 years old. Really, that's probably your peak of your powers. It's a tremendous signing. And this bet is basically putting up against Rooney and Van Persie, isn't it? Who scores the most?
It is. And the price is 5-4 Wayne Rooney to get the most goals for Manchester United this season, 6-4 Robin Van Persie, 3-1 Falcao. I love that 3-1. Really like it. And sources are telling us, Lee, that Robin Van Persie might have knee surgery as well, so he could be out for a prolonged period, and that might be the reason they brought Falcao in. Wayne Rooney, as far as I'm concerned, we'll come on to Wayne Rooney in a little bit in more detail later when we look at England, but he's not a natural, it's going to sound ridiculous given he had that wonder season, but he's not a natural out-and-out number nine. He's not a striker, is he?
He got 17 and 29 last season, which is decent. This is in the Premier League only. And we think this market is in all competitions, by the way, because I know there's only two that Man United are in, but you know the FA Cup, you know, could be a rich source of goals for them this season. 12 and 27 the year before Rooney got, that's only in the league again. 2011-2012, his record was 27 and 34.
That was his wonder year,
which is tremendous, obviously. Going back 2010-2011, his record in the Premier League was 11 and 28. It's not actually that, you know, we're not talking like Falcao's figures, are we?
He's not the prolific striker that Radamel Falcao is.
And he seems to, the older he gets, and he's the same age as Falcao, by the way, the older he gets, he seems to drop further and further back, doesn't he? You know, it almost like he wants to become more of a playmaker than just a striker. So I like that a lot. I mean, the Van Persie info is key to that. If Van Persie has got any kind of injury, he's going to miss games, then I think the 3-1 is a tremendous bet. And you'll get a good run for your money. It's not like Rooney's going to score 10 more goals than him anyway.
No.
So you're going to get a good run for your money, I think. The other one is, how many goals will Falcao score in the Premier League this season? 5-6 over 12.5, 5-6 under 12.5. Well, as I say, if you look at his ratio, that's landed in every season except last season when he scored 9 in those 14. But you know, if he'd have played a full season, he would have got over 12.5. So it's a bit of a you know, short price, 5-6. Be waiting, you know, a full season for you. But you might have landed by January.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to be a huge success at Manchester United. Obviously, it remains to be seen. But this is a man with an incredible goal-scoring record. And I'm looking forward to seeing him at the club. And even though many people saying, can he play at centre-back, Ed Woodward's panicking, they're just buying everyone, and they have spent a heck of a lot of money.
Who wouldn't buy Falcao?
Who wouldn't buy Falcao? Precisely. I think it's...
Arsenal fans must be sat there going, what?
Yep.
Why have we not got Falcao? Weird.
It is weird. The other side of the league, Manchester United are at the other end of the table at the moment. Burnley 4-9 to be relegated following the weekend. Crystal Palace 6-4, QPR 13-8, West Brom 13-8, Leicester 3-1, Hull 7-2, Sunderland 7-2, West Ham 7-2, 9-2. Burnley getting shorter and shorter in that relegation market. only managed a point against Manchester United at the weekend. They looked poor. Manchester United were awful. And Burnley look poor as well, in my opinion.
It's just goals, isn't it? That's the problem for them. You know, they haven't got enough goals. I think they're an organised side, and I like the manager and all that sort of stuff. But without goals in the Premier League, you are going to struggle. And you know, they've struggled to create real clear cut chances. And they've also, you know, when they have got them, they've struggled to put them away. You know, I've said it, you know, a few times already, that, you know, that they've got championship players, you know, and that's just not going to be good enough for them, I don't think, unfortunately. I think there's rumours that they're maybe bringing in another championship striker on transfer deadline day. You know, it's just, you know, it needs to be better than that. You know, I do like Burnley, but I think you're right. I think it's going to be hard for them unless they suddenly find a bit of form quickly. The one team in all that, you know, you just listed, that I'd probably back, 13-8 West Brom. I'll probably see them going on a bit of a slide rather than QPR. QPR, of course, sold Remy and going to use the money wisely, you'd think, so they'll have some quality players in the squad. Palace, I think, will go down. I didn't like them before the season, 6-4. I don't think Warnock will get a tune out of them in the end. As of the others, Hull. So I like Leicester. Leicester have done nothing wrong, have they, so far, really? 3-1. I got themselves out of the League Cup as well. Hull, 7-2. Sunderland, 7-2. West Ham, 7-2.
Much value in that.
No, market, not really. Really. I suppose Villa at 9-2 and West Brom at 13-8 would be the two, but nothing really takes my fancy that much.
Okay, Lee, let's have a look at the midweek international fixtures then. Always seems strange, doesn't it? The World Cup, it feels to me like it's only just ended. You get into the Premier League, 3 weeks in, international break.
Yeah, great, love it.
Yeah, fantastic. England taking on Norway at Wembley on Wednesday night. England 4-7, draw 14-5. Norway in the betting at 5-1. Roy Hodgson midway through his cycle right now. He's got an opportunity to redeem himself. I think it's a terrible decision for him still to be manager of England. He's shown that he can't do the job, but yet he's still in there. The performances at the World Cup were shambolic, and I found it difficult to believe that he was going to last the course of his contract, but apparently he's entrusted with this national team right now, and he's still there. I can't quite fathom how he's managed to keep hold of this job, really.
Says the right things, doesn't he? Incidentally, when I see a list of international friendlies, this is what I usually say. Norway. Thanks for the laugh. I don't know either, really.
That's terrible.
He didn't seem to... I don't know.
I can't believe he's still there. How did he manage to avoid getting sacked?
Because I suppose it's this transition thing. No one expected much. Greg Dyke did that, didn't he?
Didn't we expect
his throat when, you know, when the draw was made?
Yep. Expected more than.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it seems like we kind of. I was happy to forget England at the World Cup, and now it's come round again. I mean, they're talking about Wembley being half full. This might be tabloid speak and a bit of like jumping on a negative story, but they're talking about 40,000 being there for this, which would be a shame, wouldn't it, to see lots of empty seats. And it'd be one of those games where, you know, like youth internationals, where all you can hear is young teenagers screaming. You know, when you take. Did you ever go on a school trip to Wembley to watch England?
I never did, no.
Yeah, I did once, and it's like on the TV, you can hear it, it's that kind of not proper like guttural football fan noises. It's just loud high-pitched screams, a bit like a One Direction concert.
I'm just thinking about a One Direction concert then.
So it could be a bit of a strange one, a bit of a drab atmosphere and a bit of a strange one for the players. I look back and to see, because England generally fail at tournaments recently, I look back to see what they did in their first friendlies after previous tournaments, and they beat Italy 2-1 after Euro 2012, beat Hungary 2-1 after the World Cup in 2010, beat Greece 4-0 in the first friendly at Wembley after 2006, might not have been at Wembley actually, and beat Ukraine 3-0 after Euro 2004. So a pretty good record. In general, they've got a pretty good record. And I think this is we don't know what the team's going to be. We're recording this on Monday.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, there are a few changes. There's no Gerrard, obviously, in the side. No Lampard anymore. So there's some chances for midfielders. I expect, he's been talking a lot about Wilshere in the build-up, so I expect Wilshere to have a prominent role in this team. Rooney is obviously the captain.
He is. What do you make to that appointment?
All right. Yeah. Now, I don't think Rooney's fantastic, but, you know, what are the other options? I don't really like having a goalkeeper as my captain. So, you know, you couldn't have Joe Hart there. Maybe Gary Cahill or Phil Jagielka was the other options. I'd probably rather have a centre-half. as my captain. Rooney,
I'd have liked Cahill. I think he seems to be more of a leader, Cahill, than Wayne Rooney. I'm not convinced Wayne Rooney's the right man for the job. I'm not convinced that he's the same player he was, in all honesty. No. I think people have been critical about him dropping into that deep role when he's meant to be your front man. I don't think he's the same player. I'd be amazed if he had a massive impact either at international level or at club level this season, to be quite honest.
I get that. Yeah, I can see why you think that. But as captain, I thought, he said it for ages, Hodgson, that he would be his captain when Gerrard stood down. So it was no surprise to me that he gave him. One thing about Rooney in terms of goal scoring, a lot of people will probably think, he's captain, get him in to score a goal. I'm just looking at his record. 11 of his 40 goals have been in friendlies.
Right.
And since 2010, only 3 of his 15 goals have been in friendlies.
Okay.
So he doesn't score many in. Like, I was trying to wrap my brains thinking, he's not the sort who you see scoring that many goals in these friendlies. He may well score, but at 5-6 with that record, I'm not so sure. I mean, he may. Whether he plays the full game against Norway is debatable. Probably will, given that it's his kind of proper debut as captain. But I like Raheem Sterling to score if he plays. I think he looks fantastic for Liverpool at the moment. Roy Hodgson was watching the Tottenham-Liverpool game and the kind of camera cut to him when Raheem Sterling has scored his goal. And a lovely finish. He could have scored a wonder goal, but fluffed his lines. Did you see that? He went round everyone. And did you see that?
No, I missed that.
He kind of did like a messy run almost through the box and jinked around all these Tottenham defenders. And then only had the keeper to beat, but he was very close and just kind of trickled it back to him.
Right, okay.
It was like, oh no. And afterwards, Brendan Rodgers said it was like the skills of Ricky Villa and the finish of Ricky Gervais.
Like it.
Which was good, it was nice.
Nice.
So yeah, Raheem Sterling 6-4. I think there will be goals in this. You look at Norway's performances in friendlies and it's not great. They concede a lot away from home. These are the last few games. They lost 4-0 in France in May. They drew 2-2 with the Czech Republic in March. Lost 3-0 to Poland, and they had a man sent off Poland after an hour. That was in January. They won 2-1 in Moldova in a friendly in January. Lost 2-1 to Denmark last November, and lost 4-2 to Sweden last August. So plenty of goals conceded there. And they also conceded quite a lot in the first half as well, which I thought was interesting, because England tend to get going quite early in home matches and home friendlies. 7 first half goals in the last 6 games Norway have conceded. So again, that might be a way we can look at going in on this. England drew 0-0 in that friendly against Honduras, of course. The Peru game, they scored in the 32nd minute. That was a decent one. In the game against Scotland, they scored in the 29th minute, England. In the game against Republic of Ireland, they scored in the 23rd. The game against Brazil, it was a 26th minute. And the game against Italy, 28th minute. So, a real consistent first half scoring stat there for both. England scoring the first half and Norway conceding the first half. So I'm going to have a little look at over 1.5 first half goals in the match.
Okay.
Now, for England to score over 1.5 in the first half is 4-1. Probably asking a little bit too much. England just to score a goal in the first half is 3-4, though.
Yes.
Which, I know it's odds on, but I quite like that. You can. I'm just looking.
England's highest scoring half to be the first half, 23-10.
Yeah, could be. I mean, if he starts with a strong team and then makes changes at half time. Yeah, looks a big price that, doesn't it? To be fair,
I suppose you could play that 4-1 first half over 1.5 goals, because if the first half is to be the highest scoring half, you'd imagine in all likelihood they're going to, well, it's probably odds on they get one in the second half, so you need two anyway to land that bet,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, true. I'm just looking for the overs, the over 1.5 goals in the first half, Mark. I'm not sure if we've got it pretty much, but I'll double check that while we look at some other markets. But yeah, I expect England to win. I expect them to maybe put 3 past them or something like that, so it could be high on the goals, but I'll probably just stick with that at that first half bet.
As far as the squad is concerned, 4 new call-ups looking for their first caps. Jack Colback has been included from Newcastle.
Yeah, he missed training, actually, DK, as we record this.
He
missed training, as did Danny Rose, so that's a bit of a worry for them, too.
Yeah, and Aston Villa's Fabian Delph is included in the squad as well. Callum Chambers, young Arsenal defender, in there as well. Hodgson actually called Jack Colback the the Ginger Perlow in one of his press conferences. The Geordies have nicknamed him the Ginger Perlow, but for him to use it in a press conference, it's a little bit Partridge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Calling in the Ginger callback. It's just everything that... Every time he's on camera and he's talking... I mean, you've met him, Lee, before.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago. He just...
You don't like him, do you?
I don't like...
You should have told him.
I do like him, but he's a bit He's a bit like your granddad, isn't he? He's just that... You know, he just doesn't inspire...
I know what you mean.
He doesn't inspire a football fan.
You kind of switch off a bit when he's chatting, don't you?
It's all a little bit embarrassing and cringeworthy, I think.
Fair enough. Mm. I found my first half over goals. It's actually a nice price. First half over 1.5 goals is 21-10.
Okay, so that's the bet.
Yeah. I like that. But I mean, I like the England to score a goal. 3-4. Yeah.
Yeah.
3-1.
England 4-7. The draw 14-5. Norway 5-1. England to win it 3-1 in the betting at 14-1.
Yeah. I think Norway could get a goal because, you know, I'm not sure about the England defence. And there's a player called Tarek El Nounoussi, who's 13-5 to score any time. 2-3 for Hoffenheim already this season. He's got 18-31 for Norway. It's a pretty young Norway squad, this, by the way. Not many with loads of caps. Pedersen's got the most caps of anyone. Morgan Gans Pedersen, he's got 81 caps. But there's only like two or three who've got like 30-odd caps. And Tom Hergel, the defender's got 41, but the rest of them are all kind of like, you know, single figure caps and maybe just in the teens. So it's a pretty young Norway squad, this. And they, like I said, they concede goals. So I think England to win over 2.5, the first half goals, and Sterling to grab a goal if he starts.
Yeah, play the headline off as well. Raheem Sterling to score and England to win is in the betting at 3-1 as part of the headline offers here with William Hill. England to win the match, both teams to score in the game at 11-4 as well. Let's move on. Let's have a look at Republic of Ireland versus Oman, which is Wednesday night as well. 7:45 p.m. kickoff this one. Just a couple of markets available at time of recording, but obviously as we move on, we'll have more markets. So as the week gets older, we'll have more markets available for Republic of Ireland versus Oman. Republic of Ireland 2-7, the draw 9-2, a man in the betting at 8-1. Shea Given has been brought back into the squad by Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane. Roy Keane apparently had a heavy influence in convincing Given to come back. Robbie Keane's in the squad as well. He's carrying a knock, but he's left LA to join the squad. The interesting thing about this game is that only... I know you're always looking at the FIFA coefficient rankings, Lee.
Mm, daily.
Only one place separates these two sides.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Republic of Ireland 66th, Oman in 67th in the FIFA world rankings. They've actually only conceded two goals in their last 13 internationals, Oman. But this is even though they're only playing Republic of Ireland, apologies... listeners in Ireland, it's still a step up in class.
Yeah. I think I do like those FIFA things, but I can't have that one. seems daft, doesn't it? Incidentally, when I saw this fixture and I think about international friendlies, I thought to myself, oh man.
two from two now.
Republic have lost the last three friendlies at home. 2-1 to Serbia, 2-1 to Turkey, and 5-1 against Portugal. Not great, is it, obviously? But they did play Oman. I don't know what the link... I've been trying to find out what the link is between the Republic of Ireland and Oman.
Just for the reasons behind the friendly.
Because they played them in 2012, didn't they, as well? And they won 4-1. September 2012. I thought, that's strange. So, yeah, they beat them 4-1 back then. The goals came from Shane Long, Kevin Doyle, Robbie Brady, and Alex Pearce, so scored in the 7th, 23rd, 36th, 85th minute. I don't see an awful lot. I mean, you mentioned about Oman. They tend to play, obviously, teams, you know, in their part of the world, Uzbekistan and Iraq and Syria and Jordan. So, you know, they don't score many goals, as you said. I think the last trip to friendly trip to Europe was the Republic game, I think I'm right in saying, when they lost 4-1. So don't do too well when they come to Europe. I'd be expecting something similar. You mentioned a couple of the players who are missing, and a couple of players who are out. Andy Reid's out, Jeff Hendricks out as well, Stephen Kelly. first half goals again. It's, you know, I'm kind of going on this one, 9 in the last 7 games. When you look at the goals in the friendlies for the Republic, lots of first half goals in their matches as well. So we're a bit limited on markets as we record this one.
Yep.
But I'd be looking at that same bet as the England game, over 1.5 first half goals in the match.
Okay.
And you could, I might even go over 1.5 Republic of Ireland goals, because I think they could win. You know, it'd be a lot shorter because the Republic of Ireland are 2-7. But I think. That's a decent bet. I think they'll score, and they'll score throughout the game. Wait to see what the team is, of course, before deciding on a goal scorer. But I think you could pick any one of the front two to score a goal any time. If Walters plays, he might be a good bet to get on the score sheet as well. I don't think Robbie Keane will play, because they've obviously got Georgia not too far away, and I think they're looking at getting him fit for that match. So I'd be very surprised if he played in this, if he is a doubt after the travelling and everything. So over 1.5 first half goals for me. And if you're looking for an ACCA bet, Republic of Ireland to win, and over 2.5 would be the way I'd go.
That's Republic of Ireland versus Oman on Wednesday night. The big game, or one of the big games on Wednesday night, Germany-Argentina. Germany, yeah. 10-11, the draw 5-2, Argentina in the betting at 3-1. Germany already being backed here with William Hill. They were even money, clipped into 10-11. Two headline offers here as well. Mario Götze to score, and Germany to win is 4-1. Angel Di Maria to score and Argentina to win in the betting at 8-1. This game being played in the Esprit Arena in Dusseldorf. And Joachim Löw has actually named 18 of his World Cup winners in this squad. So a strong squad. It will be the same squad to face Scotland next weekend as well. And the five world champions to miss out: Philipp Lahm, Miroslav Klose, Per Mertesacker, Bastian Schweinsteiger's out injured, Mertesacker's obviously retired, and Shkodran Mustafi isn't 100% fit either. So the absences for Germany. But he's already signalled his intent, hasn't he, Joachim Löw? He's come out in the press and said, this Germany team will not rest on their laurels. There will be no World Cup hangover. Seems very, very focused to get them back on the right track ahead of the Euros.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's fair enough. I mean, you know, there's a few players who are going to be missing, of course. It's a bit of a new era, isn't it? Closer, you know, you meant Lahm and all them, like you mentioned. No Schweinsteiger or Mustafa. So a bit of a change, but it's just Germany, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine what it must be like in Germany once you've... What it'd be like here if we were going into a friendly against Norway having won the World Cup? I mean, it would be crazy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So it's hard to see how they're not completely bang up for this game. Argentina, of course, have got a new manager, Gerardo Martino. Kept the same squad as the World Cup squad, which is interesting. Messi's a major doubt for this, and probably might, by the time... the game comes around, I'm sure he'll have been ruled out. But at the minute, he's rated as a major doubt. They beat Germany in Germany in 2012, 3-1, which I remember kind of looking at that game when we were getting ready for the World Cup final and wondering if it would be high scoring. They do very well in Europe, actually, Argentina. The last friendly, what was the kind of the flying ointment for this stat, they only drew 0-0 in Romania, but they beat Italy 2-1, beat Sweden 3-2, beat Germany 3-1, and beat Switzerland 3-1. So high scoring games and wins for Argentina in Europe. I'd probably go for a draw here. You know, it wasn't a nasty final, was it? And, you know, the words coming out of Germany are that they're looking forward for Argentina to come in, and they respect them, and it was a great final and blah, blah, blah. Argentina will obviously be... It won't be a normal friendly. They'll be up for it. You know, you've just been beating the World Cup final.
The only thing that I'd go against when you're mentioning the draw, I actually thought Germany would knock him better, even money, being clipped into 10-11. They relied so heavily on Lionel Messi at that World Cup, even though he didn't produce and he was only 80%, he was talismanic for Argentina throughout that World Cup. However, they didn't have a shot on target in the final. Not one shot on goal in the final, which is an incredible statistic in my opinion. And without Lionel Messi, how can they possibly go into Germany and get something from this match?
Well, because I mean, I think maybe there was too much of a reliance on him, and it detracts from the rest of the players, and doesn't it? You know, if I think the other players will get a bit more of a lease of life, and you can maybe set them up in a more regimental fashion rather than having Messi just wandering around looking shattered. You know, it's almost like a waste of a player at times, wasn't it? We were all waiting for him to just turn on a sixpence and do something amazing. It never really happened. So maybe they'll play a bit more of a normal formation, and it'll be a bit more regimented, and they can actually not have to look to Messi every single time. The one price I like here, I mean, I'm a massive Sergio Aguero fan, and I think he started the season for Manchester City so well. Obviously drew a blank at the weekend. Now he obviously disappointed in a big way at the World Cup, and because of injury maybe, but if he starts this game, I think 9-5 any time for a player of his quality against anyone is worth backing. Whether they win, lose or draw, I mean, very hard to predict the outcomes of games like this when you don't know who's going to start the game.
Team news is very important.
Massively. But 9-5 for Sergio Aguero is really good. Same price for Gonzalo Higuain as well, by the way. I like those prices. You know, Thomas Muller, 6-4, he always seems to pop up, doesn't he? You mentioned Gomez already. Marco Reus, obviously back in the squad as well. And Mario Götze. Quality. I mean, we name all these players, just keep going down. It's just quality players.
That German squad just looks incredibly
fantastic,
incredibly strong.
Yeah. But if I'm forced to have a bet on the outrights, I'd go for the draw at 5-2.
Okay.
I think it might be a bit of a. I don't think it'll have the same intensity as the World Cup final. I think it might almost be a bit of a celebration in a sense, a bit of a kind of, you know, almost like a bit of a reminisce at the final. So a nice polite draw, 2-2.
Okay, 2-2, 16-1. On to Thursday night's football action, international friendlies yet again. Italy 13-10, the draw 11-5, Holland in the betting at 11-5. Big news here is that Louis van Gaal has obviously moved to Manchester United. Gus Hiddink has replaced him as Netherlands boss. Very strong World Cup for the Netherlands, capped with that meaningless third place playoff win against Brazil, meaningless for the Netherlands, not for Brazil. They've got a very experienced squad. They'll be looking for some of their younger players, I think, to make that graduation to the first team now, the Netherlands.
Yeah.
There's actually been 4 draws in the last 8 meetings between the two sides.
Yeah.
Draws in the betting at 11-5. Italy disappointing in the World Cup, Lee, in England's group. That's what made England's performance even more intolerable, in my opinion, given that in the build-up, everyone thought, it's a difficult group here with Uruguay, Italy, then Costa Rica, the no-hopers, seemingly, before the World Cup. But Italy and Uruguay disappointed badly. And so, of course, did England. Pundits are calling what the Italian side are going through as similar to the England side, a transitional period where they're trying to promote younger players. They've got a lot of inexperienced players in their squad, Italy.
They have, yeah, and no Pirlo either, which is a big one for them. He's out for this and for the the Euro qualifier. He's left Balotelli out as well. Antonio Conte. In comes a player called Simone Zaza, which is a fantastic name. Scored 9 in 33 in Serie A last season, 18 in the season before when he was in Serie B. Now 2 in 2. This season, in one game in Serie A and one in the Coppa Italia. So obviously started the season in good nick, and Conte likes him. So, I mean, he might be worth a look. Again, wait for team news. Immobile is the man up front for them generally now, though. He's obviously had a transfer away from his club. He's in the Bundesliga this season. Hasn't scored. He played one game, hasn't scored. Scored a few last season, didn't he? 22 in 33, which was a really good return. Not so sure about Italy. They've got a remarkably bad record in friendlies. When you look at the home record in friendlies, DK, the last 18 friendlies at home, they've won 2.
Yeah, it's incredible,
won 2.
Isn't it?
They can't be bothered.
No.
You mentioned the draw stat. Well, they draw a lot of those. You know, you look at the home friendlies for Italy. They've drawn the last 4 against Luxembourg, Republic of Ireland, Nigeria and Germany. Lost to Argentina. Drew 2-2 with Haiti.
Yeah.
Beat San Marino. That's one of the two. Was San Marino. Drew with Brazil. Lost to France. Lost to Russia. Lost to USA, Uruguay. Beat Spain.
Yeah, 2-1.
Yeah, in 2011. The reigning world champions at the time. Lost to Republic, drew with Romania, lost to Ivory Coast, lost to Mexico and drew with Cameroon. Before that, they had a really good record at home, but I don't know what it is. They're just not that bothered. Again, I mean, it's boring, but on the outrights, draw.
A lot of those players undercooked as well, given that they've only just started the season in Italy.
I mean, it's interesting. The news we've got is that Gus Hiddink's without Huntelaar, Robben and Van der Vaart.
Yeah.
Now, Robben's the headline offer, so I'm presuming they'll change that. If Van Persie's got any kind of knock, you know, we don't know how he is. Will he play? Not so sure about Holland. I think they flattered to deceive a little bit in the World Cup, if I'm being honest. I thought I was against them a little bit, and obviously they finished third. It was fantastic, and they demolished Brazil. But I just wonder if this one looks like another draw. Some good players in there, obviously. I'll go for the draw in this one again. Probably looking, you know, goal scorers.
Italy just look underpriced in the betting, really.
Yeah.
I think Holland are a better international side right now than Italy. We saw evidence of that in the World Cup. Italy have got a lot of inexperienced players in their side. Apart from Daniel De Rossi in midfield, lots of players that are in single digits in terms of caps. It is definitely a transitional period for Italy at the moment, and we'll have to wait and see how these younger players, how their performances materialise. Yeah. And it's players, not even younger players, it's players coming in and getting caps at 27, 28 years old.
I mean, Osvaldo, I mean, he's at Inter, obviously, now, but he's not a fantastic player. Look at the goal-scoring record of their forward line.
Yeah.
You know, the most goals of anyone is Osvaldo. He's got 4 in 14. Now, I'd probably have a look at Zaza if he plays. If he starts 2-1 any time, it's a pretty big price if he is up front. It'd be his debut. Like I say, he's already got 2 goals this season for Sassuolo. So, you know, maybe worth a look at Simone Zaza if he starts this match as an anytime goal scorer at 2-1.
Italy 13-10, the draw 11-5, Holland 11-5. France take on Spain on Thursday night as well. 8 p.m. kickoff this one. France 6-4, the draw 11-5. Spain in the betting at 9-5. Two headline offers here. Karim Benzema to score and France to win in the betting at 4-1. Cesc Fabregas to score and Spain to win at 7-1. France had a decent World Cup. Got some superb young players. Morgan Schneiderlin and Remy Cabella, obviously playing in the Premier League now. And Man United would kill for a player like Paul Pogba right now, Lee. That's got to be one of Alex Ferguson's biggest regrets at Manchester United, not getting the best out of Pogba, or not getting anything out of Pogba. Vicente Del Bosque on the other side of the coin for Spain got a bit of a reputation to rebuild after what happened at the World Cup. You get the feeling Isco and Koke are going to be big influences in this national side for the next decade. Cesc Fabregas has often been a bit part player as well, part of the headline offer here with Hills. He's got 91 caps, though. I didn't think he
amazing,
had that many caps.
It? Incredible.
I couldn't believe it when I saw he had 91 caps.
Wow. I wonder how many of those are subs.
Must be a lot of them as substitute, but 91 caps.
Well, now's his time, isn't it? Because, you know, Xavi retired, Alonso retired, obviously David Villa as well has gone as well. No Torres in this one. So, yeah, he's got a real opportunity. I think in the midfield is where this game will be won, though. And you know, the one thing I really liked about France was the midfield. I thought the connection between the midfield and getting them into an attacking formation was a little bit slow at times. I love the midfielder. I think it's very, very strong. They just look so powerful. This was the only game I actually went to see. It was a France game at the World Cup against Nigeria. And it was a poor game, really. But I mean, when you look, you just thought, they looked like they were in second gear all the time. A bit like when, you know, Patrick Vieira was playing, like that kind of, almost like a languid style, but very, very powerful. So I think they'll only get better. I think the midfield's where this will go. We talked on the weekend about the copyrighted Pete Farris socks up syndrome, which makes no sense, but it's basically when a team ends a winning run, they don't immediately get back onto a winning run.
Yes.
And I think we could suffer a bit of a hangover here for Spain. It's all right, Del Bosque saying, you know, OK, this is the end of one golden generation. We can start another one. Well, you could, but it doesn't happen like that. They have got a tremendous striker who's in brilliant form in Diego Costa, who, again, 8-5 to score any time. I mean, you know, we're at the minute, I think if he just hit the ball from anywhere, it'd fly into the back of the net.
I'm just always concerned about backing these strikers that have... You know, big name strikers that are coming from their clubs and maybe think, you know, come into a friendly and think, I don't want to pick up an injury here. I'm rolling with Chelsea at the moment. Jose Mourinho might have had a word with him and said, listen, we know you want to play for your national side, but it is only a friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather look at those names when we come on to the weekend action on Friday, when internationals, those internationals actually mean something.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I think every one of these matches, every friendly you ever bet on, it comes with a wealth warning, doesn't it?
Team
news and all that. You've got to make a decision as to whether... I mean, it's interesting. I don't know what you think about this. Do you think playing a game of this magnitude as a friendly makes those players... more likely, though, to actually
possibly
treat it seriously, because you're up against excellent centre-backs.
I always think that players that are on the fringes and really need to perform are more likely to put it in these friendlies than guys that are established.
You might not even start Costa, for instance. You know,
all these goal scorer bets, you've got to look at the team news prior to the match, see the way the two teams are set up, and then draw something from that.
Yeah. And as you may know this, and I may be patronising you, but anyone who doesn't, anytime goal scorer rules, if your player doesn't start and comes on, the bet's void anyway.
That's it.
So even if he comes on and scores, your bet's void. First goal scorer, if your player doesn't start but comes on before the first goal scored and then scores the first goal, your bet's valid. And if he doesn't, it's also a loser. But if the goal's been scored, then he comes on, it's voided, isn't it?
So that's it. It is important to note that, because a lot of people will play an anytime goal scorer and think if your guy comes on in the 70th minute and scores, you get paid out. But on the flip side, if you came on for the last 2 minutes, you'd be aggrieved to lose your cash there. So I think that's the fairest rule.
I think France win this, though. I think France are on an upward trajectory. I think there were a lot of people who liked France at the World Cup and didn't quite do as well as they should have done, maybe. But I think Spain are obviously in a bit of a sticky situation. And I think some of the goal scorer prices for France are brilliant. You know, Benzema's 7-4 favourite for them. Great. Loic Remy got this new deal at Chelsea. Seems really obviously up for it. And he seems very pumped by signing for such a big club. 2-1. I like this one. We saw this guy, didn't we, play in the Champions League last year, and I thought he was excellent at the World Cup. Antoine Griezmann, 11-5 anytime, brilliant. I think he's already scored already in the Super Cup. He already set a goal up in the Super Cup this season. He's already looked lively for his new club.
Got 3-9 as well at international level.
Atletico Madrid now. I like him a lot, and I think he's only going to improve. So 11-5, just a little bit bigger than the strikers. I think, again... bit of hunger about him as well, being a younger player, I think. So that's a decent one for me. Kishan is the only problem for France in terms of injuries. He's been ruled out, so Mathieu has been called up in his place. I'd look at France maybe winning this one 2-0, 2-1.
2-0 to our full market's not yet available, so do check that out. 2-0 to France, 2-1 to France. Those headline offers available as well. Benzema and France to win 4-1. Fabregas and Spain to win at 7-1. I also think there's a huge influence in... I'm a big believer that managers hold the key at international level. And I think Vicente Del Bosque, he's achieved so much with Spain. Mm. And as you mentioned about the two national sides going in a different trajectory right now, I think you've got the same with the managers. I think Didier Deschamps, a young manager who's hungry for success and is stamping his own ethos on the national football team, whereas Del Bosque, even though he's been there and done it, it's different for him now because he's got to start all over again. It's whether or not he's got that same sort of drive and desire. He's saying all the right things in the press, but whether he believes them or not is a different question entirely.
True, and I was surprised that he kept his job, in a way.
Yep.
To be honest. I mean, you know, maybe it was time for a change in that respect as well, but obviously he's still there. He's done brilliant. They're obviously giving him the chance to rebuild, which is fair enough.
It's difficult to sack a man who's won three major international tournaments prior to a disappointing one.
Yes, it is.
Even if you've not got any shred of heart at all, if he was to be sat, there'd almost be national outcry, wouldn't there?
And he is the man, isn't he? Let's be fair about it. So the one little thing I'd say about this is that France have got a harder European qualifier than Spain have in terms of the trip. France go to Serbia for their opener, which is obviously tougher, so there might be more opportunity. Deschamps may want to rest more of his players ahead of that. Spain have got Macedonia at home. Not an easy game by any stretch, but you know, I just think maybe that's what you've got to build that into it as well, along with all the other warnings about these games from a betting point of view. That's another one to count.
Thanks, Lee. It's been good fun. Wednesday and Thursday then for the internationals. Then we'll be back on Friday to look at Sunday and Monday's matches. England playing on Monday night, aren't they?
Yes.
Their first qualifier.
Weird, isn't it? Monday night. It's a weird Monday night international.
Yeah, it's a weird... but as you mentioned, it'll be interesting to see how many people are actually at Wembley this weekend. Sorry, this midweek for this match, because reports suggesting 40,000.
That'll be the lowest ever, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it will feel empty if there's only 40,000 in that stadium. So make sure you check out all the team news, of course, prior to these international friendlies. Best of luck with your bets this week. And we'll be back on Friday for our weekend look at the international fixtures, England and Republic of Ireland and Scotland all involved in the Euro qualifiers. So looking forward to that. Thank you for listening, folks. Remember, you can download this podcast via Audioboo or check it out at williamhill.com/podcasts. And we'll be back again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.